You see, my point is this, that oftentimes we believe the things that we can figure out. And the things we can't figure out, we don't believe, even though the Word of God tells us. You ever been there? But I got to tell you, when we make decisions out of fear and out of anxiety, and we try to concoct our own way of doing things, what's going to happen? I think more times than not, we're going to make bad decisions. And I want you to note this, that Joseph, he starts to think about these things, right? And he has a plan. It's probably a plan that perhaps me and you would come up with. But what thwarts his plan is God's word. I want you to note that. And it comes through an angel. The angel appears to him in a dream saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Believe in what I'm going to tell you. Do not be afraid that your wife has been faithful. Your wife is still pure. But she's a special woman that through her, right, the Spirit comes upon her, that the Son of God is going to be born. Would you believe that? Seems difficult to believe. Well, Joseph believed because it came from the Word of God.
Greetings, brothers and sisters in the Lord. We welcome you to the podcast of Calvary Chapel Echo Park here in Los Angeles, California. To find out more about our fellowship, please visit us online at ccechopark.com. And now let's humbly turn our eyes to our Father in heaven as we open His Word. We will be in the New Testament book of Matthew. Let's join Pastor David Higa with the teaching as we set our hearts and minds on the Lord.
Jesus Christ was as follows. And after His mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But, verse 20, while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And so all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Verse 24, Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Okay, so right here in verse 18, it says, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. Okay, so this highlights, right, the actual birth of Jesus. Now, the thing that people are going to ask, well, if Jesus is fully God, what do you mean the birth of God? Well, it's interesting, right? We believe that there's God the Father and God the Son. And so God the Father, God the Son, they are both God. God the Son is the second person of the Trinity. But God the Son always existed. And that's the John chapter 1, verse 1 passage, right? In the beginning was God. In the beginning was God. And it says that in John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, was with God and was God, and that Word became flesh. That speaks of the person of Jesus Christ. And so now when it says the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows, it doesn't mean that Jesus ceased to be God. He always was God and always will be God, but at a point in time that He veiled His glory and became a man. Okay, so I want to note that in verse 18. So it says, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. And notice it says, After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Now, born of Mary, who remained a virgin until the time after Jesus was born. And that's the inference, right? When it says, before they came together. It says, after his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together. The inference is this, is that they came together physically after Jesus was born. But until Jesus was born, she remained a virgin. Thus she was born, right, of the Spirit. Notice it says right here that she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to cross-reference to get a little bit more language on that in the Gospel of Luke. Because in the Gospel of Luke, Luke goes into a little bit more detail how the Spirit would come upon Mary and that she would conceive and then would give birth to a son. Right here just refers to it's by the Holy Spirit, okay? And so I want to back up a little bit though and talk about this whole thing about betrothal. It's a word that we see in Scripture, but it's not so much used today, right? And so for just simplistic means, a betrothal is more like what we would deem as an engagement today. So when people become engaged to be married today, oftentimes they're engaged. They're promised to each other, and they're promised to each other until they actually consummate their marriage. And so sometimes it could be a year engagement. Sometimes people go 2 years. Sometimes people go as short as a month. And sometimes people don't even have an engagement, right? They just get married. But really, this betrothal is more like what we would call an engagement today. Now, let me just kind of back up a little and explain what this betrothal was back in Jesus' day, okay? I think this is important for us, especially to understand some of the cross-references in Scripture about marriage, okay? So firstly, this whole thing about betrothal, it began with an engagement. There's actually three parts to marriage, right? There's the engagement, what is deemed literally a betrothal, which is a year long, and then the actual marriage, okay? This is the three parts that were exercised in the time of Jesus in Israel's culture there. And so it began with an engagement. Now, the engagement back then is not like today. The engagement back then was, actually, it can happen even when the husband and wife were very young, even when they're children. It would be when perhaps the family would promise the young girl to the young guy. The two families would get together and they would promise them. Way back, even perhaps maybe in elementary school or in junior high, that type of thing, middle school, they would promise them to each other in marriage. But it wouldn't be until they became older, right? They would actually exercise the betrothal. But oftentimes they were arranged marriages, right? And so the two families would get together, they would plan it out, and they would scope out just the different details, and then they would promise their children to one another, right? And then they would wait till the betrothal period comes. Now, what's the betrothal? Well, the betrothal, this is made after the previous engagement is made, which officially kind of binds it. But then during this time of the betrothal, the husband and wife, or the soon-to-be husband and wife, they would commit to each other, kind of what we would call the engagement, and it's usually for a year. At that time in that culture, it was actually they were married, even though they didn't come together physically. When you promise in the betrothal, right there, you're actually married. And to break that bond, you actually have to have a divorce. And so at this time when we see, when it says that Joseph and Mary were betrothed, they were actually married, even though they didn't come together physically. Now the marriage actually comes after a year or so. Betrothals usually took a year, but they were actually seen as a couple as married. And so right here, when Mary becomes pregnant by the Holy Spirit, that presents a problem, right? They were not supposed to be joined physically. And they weren't joined physically, we know. But then she becomes pregnant. So that's the challenge. Now let me keep on explaining this whole thing about marriage in that time. So after a year betrothal, then what happens is the actual marriage ceremony. And oftentimes that took 7 days. I'm thinking about the first miracle that Jesus did. What was his first miracle? Remember, he turned water into wine. Where was he when he did that? He was at the wedding at Cana. Remember the wedding at Cana? And it was probably for about 7 days. And that's why the wine ran out. Remember that? So he turned water into wine. And so it was probably a 7-day marriage ceremony, which was common in that culture. And so let me kind of just put this together to you. So there's the engagement part. They could be real little children at that time. They're promised to each other, right? And so they just grow up as children, but then there becomes a time when they're actually engaged, what we call engaged, and that's the betrothal period. And that's a year long. And that what happens there is that they are actually married, they do things, except for they don't join things. They don't join physically, but they do things together as a couple. And so they're just seen as married right at that point, even though they don't join physically. But at the end of the year is the actual marriage ceremony. And that takes oftentimes 7 days. And so how would that be instituted? Well, we know this through Scripture, and I'm going to put this together in other cross-references in the Scripture. What happens At the end of the year, at the end of the betrothal, is that the bridegroom takes all his groomsmen, right? They go to the bride's home, and the bridesmaids are there, right? And they go at night, and then they knock on the door, and they come, and then they bring the bride and the bridesmaids back to the bridegroom's house. Now, this would actually be the father of the bridegroom's house, right? And so they bring them back there, and then there's this great wedding, that ceremony that begins, and that's usually 7 days, a week. So think about that. So they come, and they bring them back, and then they have this marriage ceremony, and at that point, after that ceremony, we see that they finally come together as a wedded couple, and then they can have physical relationships. Now let's think about this in the scriptures. Remember the parable of the 10 virgins? Remember what that parable is about? Remember, 5 of them are filled with the Holy Spirit, they have the oil, and 5 don't. And so what happens? When the bridegroom comes, 5 are ready, and 5 aren't. So the bridegroom is who? Jesus. And we believe that the church is raptured at that time. Speaking of the church, right? The church is the bride of Jesus. Right? The church is the bride, Jesus is the bridegroom. So Jesus comes to rapture his church. We have studied this in Revelation. He raptures his church, right? So he comes and he brings the bride and the bridesmaids up to heaven, to the Father's house, for 7 days or 7 years. The 70th seven of Daniel. Remember, we just talked about that, 7 year tribulation. But remember the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 were ready and 5 weren't. So the 5 that didn't have the oil, the 5 that didn't have the Holy Spirit, they were left. And so that really does kind of fit, right, symbolically to this wedding ceremony. And so I draw this to your attention because this wedding ceremony is very well understood in the Jewish culture in that time. And so as we now go back to our calendar with Joseph and Mary, it's just like they're married. It's not like today's engagement. Today's engagement, it's like a lot of times they don't stay pure and all these kind of things happen, right? But in that time, they would stay pure, right? In the betrothal, right? That whole year. They would stay pure. It's just like they are married, but they wouldn't join physically, but they're waiting for the marriage ceremony to come. This is the time that Joseph and Mary is being described right here. This is the time, and now what happened? As Mary becomes pregnant. So can you imagine what the thinking is? Well, she's been what? Either Joseph and Mary have been practicing sin, or Mary has been committing adultery. That's the thought there, right? And so when it says here that she was found with, she was betrothed to Joseph before they came together, and she was found with child of the Holy Spirit, this presented many problems. And that's why we read that Joseph, he started to plan to maybe divorce her in secret. Right? And so it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, before they had any relationships physically. Now, I want to draw this to your attention as well. Notice it says, before they came together. Why do you think that's in there? Well, the inference is that they came together after Jesus was born. Okay, so I don't want to pick on different churches here, but really, I just want to just share with you what the scripture seems to infer. Not only here, but in the last verse, verse 25, the scripture seemed to infer that Mary didn't remain a virgin after Jesus was born. She just was a virgin until Jesus was born. Born of the Holy Spirit. And then after that, she what? She and Joseph had other children. And actually, those Gospels, they list this. I believe even the New Testament letters, there are 2 half-brothers of Jesus that wrote 2 letters in the New Testament. So we believe that the scriptures teach very clearly that Mary had relationships physically with after Jesus was born. That would be the inference here, right? Now it says, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. So it wasn't Joseph, right? It wasn't Joseph's son. It was God the Father's son because it's conceived by the Holy Spirit. But then Mary is the mother. Okay, so we see in verses 1 through 17 that we studied last week, that the lineage goes down through Abraham, through David, through Joseph. But Joseph is not the father. God is the father. Joseph is just the stepfather. But why did it have to go through that line? Because that's the kingly line. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Remember, we recorded that, right? So it has to go through the kingly line. So if you read your Old Testament, every name here in Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 17, every name is listed in your Old Testament. You can trace through it. And the divided kingdom of Israel goes through the southern tribe kingdom, kings. It goes all the way through. And when they go into exile, it still continues on all the way through to Joseph, which is the stepfather of Jesus. Remember in Matthew, it goes to Solomon, the kingly line, as I mentioned. All the kings, right? The southern tribes there. But then in the Gospel of Luke, it goes through the bloodline to Mary. And it goes through the son of David called Nathan, right? And the reason that that's important is that we see that both Mary and Joseph are of the lineage of David, but through different sons of David. Now, the reason why it's through the line of Nathan, that's the bloodline to Mary, and that's why Mary is held to be the mother of the Lord, because she conceives by the Holy Spirit, but Joseph is only the stepfather. Okay, so I want to understand, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit, not of Joseph, right? Of the Holy Spirit. So therefore she is what? Known as the mother of Jesus. Joseph is the stepfather. Now, verse 19 says this: Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Now, what is Joseph trying to do? Now, I got to just underscore this, that we don't have a whole lot of scripture about Joseph, but Joseph is a very, very godly man, and his character is very high. What's he trying to do? He's trying to protect his wife. Because again, people that see Mary as pregnant, they're going to think, what? One of two things. Either Joseph and her were practicing fornication, or that she was unfaithful, because she's actually married to Joseph in the betrothal period. And so what Joseph is thinking in his own mind, right? I'm going to protect my wife, protect her from this ridicule. And you know, this is my assumption, so you can weigh it out for what it's worth. I do believe, even if he did divorce her, that he would have taken care of her. But he's trying to do this to protect her, and I think this really speaks a whole lot to his character. The husband is trying to protect his wife. The husband is trying to cover his wife. And I got to tell you guys, this is a great example for us. The husband ought to be the covering, the protection for the wife. And so we see this is really what Joseph is trying to do. But what happens? The word of God comes to him. As he's pondering this, right, the word of God comes to him. What does he go with? He doesn't go with what he feels he ought to do. He goes with what the word of God tells him to do. Now let's keep reading here. Verse 20 says, But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. I want you to underscore it. Do not be afraid. We're going to see in the Gospel of Luke, Gabriel's going to tell Mary, do not fear. And so here we have Joseph. Think about it, right? He sees his soon-to-be wife, or actually wife, when you think about it, in the betrothal, she's pregnant. So what's he thinking? Well, you know, I'm going to take care of her, but to keep her from shame, I'm just going to quietly divorce her, and I'll take care of her. I think he will still take care of her. He's going to quietly divorce her, right? Now, that's when you think about it. And it's not bad thinking, right? He wants to take care of her. But then now, this angel says, you know what? She was conceived by the Spirit. Take her as a wife. Now, who would you believe? Well, we say we would believe it's because from God. But if someone came and told you that, you know, your wife really is a virgin, and the Spirit came upon her and she's pregnant, would you believe that? God's word through this angel. Do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And so Joseph believed that. She wasn't unfaithful. What was conceived was by the Spirit. Now, if a woman told you that today, would you believe it? You say, I don't know. Maybe I had a little bit too much wine at that communion, huh? That's what you would say. But Joseph believed it. He believed it. And that's why he's a righteous man. Now, I want you to hold your hand here right here, and then I want you to turn with me to the Gospel of Luke and see the account of Mary. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Verse 27, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. So we just read that account. So it's a similar record here, right? Of the house of David, the virgin's name was Mary. Let's keep reading. Verse 28. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Verse 29. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid. Similar to what the angel told Joseph, do not be afraid. Again, fear is the opposite of faith. Faith is the opposite of fear. What both these angels are going to do is they're going to give them the word, and they're going to say, believe it by faith. And the great thing is that they did. It would have been easier for them not to believe by faith because, boy, this will never happen. Never happened before, never will happen again. It's easy for them to never believe this, right? And to figure it out themselves. But the word is given to them, and he says, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Now, she begins to ask the angel, how will this be? Verse 34. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, which we just read in Matthew's Gospel, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, this is important. Notice it says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Now, the Holy Spirit comes upon Mary and she conceives. Now, the sense is this. If you ever read in Genesis, the creation account, right? The Holy Spirit hovered upon the face of the earth, the darkness, right? And then notice it says that the creation began. And we noted this in our study of Genesis, that as the Lord would create, right? He would create something from nothing, that word bara, in the beginning, the Lord created, right? And so we see that sense where the Spirit hovered over the darkness and then he created life. Now, notice here, the Holy Spirit, it comes upon it. It's the same sense, hovers upon Mary, right? And she brings life. Life of what? The Son of God. Now, this is important. The Son of God doesn't mean a biological. It means of the order of. So when it says Son of God, it means of the order of God. And the Jews knew this, especially the religious Jews, the Sanhedrin. Remember when they brought Jesus before Pilate? They brought him before Pilate because of blasphemy. Remember that? Remember when they're interrogating Jesus? Remember the high priest Caiaphas says, are you the Son of God? And he says, you bet I am. He says, hey, why do we need any more evidence? He said it himself. Son of God. He's making himself to be equal with God. Blasphemy. And then they sentence him to death. And so Son of God means of the order of God. And so notice it says right here, it says that the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Will be called God. Now, can you imagine somebody that's born being called God? Well, that's the person of Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man. Now, it's interesting. Verse 36 says, now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And he goes on to describe that. But jump down with me to verse 38. It says, then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your what? According to your word. He says, do not be afraid. Believe what I'm going to tell you. Let it be according to your word. And she believed by faith. the word that was shared to her. Now, I want you to know this is similar what happened to Joseph. Go back with me to Matthew chapter 1. Notice in verse 20, it says, but while he thought about these things, while he thought about putting her away in secret, taking care of things on his own, I believe he was a good man. He was still going to take care of her, but he wanted to divorce her and to save her from the shame and the ridicule. But he was still going to take care of her, I believe. But then notice, as he's considering these things, it says, while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying to Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Same thing that the angel Gabriel told Mary. Do not be afraid. What has happened is from God. Believe this and get married. Isn't that interesting? And so we see here, oftentimes, right, the temptation, I would say most times, not oftentimes, most times, the temptation is to not believe the word of God, especially when you're in the thick of it, when it seems like you got to figure things out yourself. You know what? I don't have this job. I need to do this. Or I'm not married yet, so I better get out there. You don't believe in God's promises? That God has his best for you? You know, we start to do these things, don't we? We don't just trust in the Lord. And you know what happens? We get fearful. We get anxiety attacks. And we start to do things that are outside of God's will. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. It has to do with everything in life. No matter what season of life you're in, there's something you want. You want it so bad, but you don't want to wait on the Lord. You want to do things your own way. And you start to get fearful. It's not happening yet. Lord, it's not happening yet. Why isn't it happening yet? And then you start to get out of the will of the Lord and his plan, and you start to get into trouble. Notice this young couple, Mary and Joseph, right? They're thinking about it probably. Well, what has happened is supernatural. They're thinking about it, but then the word of the Lord comes to them, and they believe it. They live by faith, not by fear. They make decisions by faith, not by fear. You know, how many times have we said the wrong thing out of fear? How many times have we done the wrong thing out of fear? And we regret it. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. But you're so fearful. Didn't trust in God's word. I mean, I'm not just speaking to you. I'm looking in the mirror here. It's a natural thing, right? When I don't see it happening, I don't trust the Lord. I have to make it happen. And that's where I make mistakes. Well, they didn't do that. Now, this is a young couple. They're in their teens, probably. But these people, this young couple, they know the Word of God. And they trust in the Word of God, and they walk in the Word of God. And even though the road ahead of them is not easy, difficult, I tell you, the best place to be is in the will of God. God's Word will come to pass.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Calvary Chapel Echo Park podcast. If you are in the LA area, you are invited to fellowship with us. We are a simple and small church with humble hearts serving a mighty and magnificent God. If you need prayer, please reach out to us and we will pray for you. Visit us online at ccechopark.com. To God be the glory.